Welcome to the happiest podcast on earth.
Well, here we go again. Another bright and glorious morning. The birds are chirping. I worked all night. I got off at 1 a.m. and the security guard gave me a fright. But don't worry, fair ladies and gentlemen. Hunter and Nick decided we're doing a podcast at 8:30 in the morning. So live from a random bed in Kissimmee, Florida, it's the happiest podcast on earth.
Good morning, Andrew.
I am just so nervous.
You're the only one in bed. I'm up.
I'm not kidding, everyone. Like, I brought my old mic that I can actually hold in my hand, and I'm currently laying in a bed.
He's horizontal.
Which
right
is actually
now.
Very funny, because today's episode has to do with what we're talking about. And yes, I actually am in a random bed in Kissimmee, Florida. And reason one might think. I'm staying in an Airbnb.
Why?
Why?
Well, do we have time for this? Is this on our call sheet for our episode?
No, just the family. Ansley's family's in town. They were like, we should all stay together. Got an Airbnb. I'm sleeping in the Hakuna Matata room.
How festive.
Yeah.
I thought you said their family came and you didn't have room, so they made you go stay at an Airbnb while the family got there.
Yeah, they were like, house. Get out, Andrew. Leave, boy.
Oh, gosh. Like,
okay. Okay, I'll leave. No, well, but it is funny because the Airbnb has got, they're all like full beds except for like fuller king or queen beds. Except for one room, and it's two twins, and me and Ansley are in the two twins. So that's
hold
where
on, is Ansley sleeping in the room as you're recording?
No, she's awake. She Ansley might as well have just been like a gargoyle. She just turned to stone at a certain point, and now the sun's out, and she's no longer stone.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's no longer.
We're getting sober. Andrew in rare form this morning.
This is morning, Andrew. Yeah.
Yeah. This is morning, Andrew. This
if
is
if you're listening.
This is Andrew had to work a party last night, Andrew.
If you're listening and you're wondering what the heck is going on, we usually record on like a Monday or Tuesday night at like, you know, 9 p.m. in the dead of night. But this is different for us. This is a Saturday morning recording, mind you, just to get ahead of the holidays. Everybody's doing a little Halloween stuff this past week from when this was posted. So it is no longer Halloween. No more spooky hey hays. We're on
Merry Christmas.
Just
Merry Christmas.
Oh gosh.
Oh, I cannot freaking wait. I will have been listening to Christmas music straight at this point for like solid 3 days, and I am living my best life. I am so excited.
Of course. Christmas. Christmas. Next week, we're going to what? Christmas party, Jollywood Nights. Happiest podcast will be there.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Jollywood Nights will be very interesting. Yep. But yeah, now it's officially Christmas season, I guess. I wasn't expecting that announcement on this episode.
But it is funny, though. Like, I wish there was a Thanksgiving song. Does anyone have a Thanksgiving song?
There is.
Maybe like something Charlie Brown or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm always thinking, but like
thankful.
All I could think of is do-do-do-do-do-do.
I feel like I'm in the team, and growing up we always waited for like Christmas decorations until the day after Thanksgiving. But yeah. Why not both? Why can't we celebrate both?
Oh, I'm telling you right now, Morgan, Ansley's sister, is like already going through withdrawals because like they're moving she like they're moving into a new house, and so as they're moving in, she's putting up decorations because she is a October 31st at midnight Well, okay, November 1st at midnight, she's got the Christmas tree up.
Oh, as soon as the clock strikes midnight on October 31st, the ghosts go away, and it is friggin' the happiest season on earth for sure.
Like, well, I wanna like start a new tradition where like I watch The Nightmare Before Christmas on Halloween night.
That's good. That would be going good. That's
into
a good transition.
November 1st. I think
through midnight.
Yeah.
Oh,
this year is really throwing me off though, because, and I'm sure for you too, Andrew, there's a Halloween party on November 1st, which is
so
bizarre.
Weird.
Yeah.
It is. Anyway. I mean, it's good. It's exciting, but I was actually, Nick and I were talking about that last night, actually, as I got off work. So I really can't complain that much because Nick was also up when I got off work. But in case you guys are wondering what time I went to sleep, it was like 5:45.
No, why do you do this to yourself?
Oh, you were off at 1. You go to sleep at 2.
Well, you know, we'll get to some of the perks and some of the not perks of, I'm about to spoil what we're talking about in the episode.
Oh, gosh.
Staying in an off, hey, off property.
Okay, speaking of.
I got a con.
Speaking of Thanksgiving songs, I did look up the best Thanksgiving songs of 2023, and you'll never guess what number 2 is.
WAP.
Oh, my God.
No. It's Dwayne Johnson. You're welcome.
Oh,
what?
Interesting.
Are you joking? And then you also have Kelly Clarkson, Thankful. James Brown, Do the Mashed Potato. These are very non-traditional Thanksgiving songs.
So are
songs,
you going to listen to those songs, Hunter? Are you, you're the type of person who doesn't, I just
don't
listen
to
celebrate
music.
Christmas in general.
I don't celebrate
actually, you
holidays
know what?
Other
I
than
do.
The day of, to be honest.
Wow.
I do. I do actually have a Thanksgiving song. Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. You've all heard the song.
All right, sing it. If it should pop in my head. Asterisk clears throat.
Yeah, no, I got it. Alabama, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Thanksgiving song.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows
Wait,
the song.
Wait, by who?
Like,
everybody
Edward
does
Sharp
that song.
And the Magnetic Zeros.
There's so many covers of that song.
Yeah, but like that's the original, and like, yes, it is the Thanksgiving song. And you can thank Lily Collins and Stuck in Love. It's Lily Collins, Nat Wolf, Jennifer Connelly.
Your knowledge is off the charts.
For I just really like 2 am hours loving asleep. This vibe. The listeners unfortunately can't see this, but Andrew is, when we say he's quite literally on a pillow, he's on a pillow looking up at the ceiling, not looking at the Zoom whatsoever.
No,
and just like,
no, I can't make eye contact with people this early. No, it's just a man and his thoughts. And the smoke alarm above his head.
Gosh, hope that doesn't start beeping. Going to be talking. Oh, by the way, it's Nick, Hunter, and Andrew. Since you know we didn't establish that, you didn't. hey, you didn't get that already. But we're going to be talking about staying off property versus staying on property, the pros and cons of each, and the reason for this. Not only is Andrew currently in an Airbnb recording as we speak, but we got to stay at an. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Epic Vacation Home.
It is
this,
Epic
this past
Vacation
week.
Homes.
Stayed in Epic Vacation Homes. Andrew, what was that like? Very, very briefly.
Well, first of all, it's all a blur.
Oh, gosh.
No, honestly, it was really cool. Well, I had a really great Saturday. I have been running on, we had it Saturday and Sunday of 2 weeks ago from the time this episode has come out. We were able to do it for Jared's birthday. A lot of fun. But when Saturday was my only day off, I went a little too hard on Saturday. And yes, the University of North Carolina Tar Heels, go Heels, go America, lost. I also got lost in a sea of emotion and Michelob Ultra.
Oh, gosh.
No. So my Sunday was not very... very fun.
Not as fun of a Sunday as it was a Saturday.
No, it was not. But let me tell you what made that Sunday so fun is we were all sitting there watching football in the movie room and just getting all cuddled up on those recliners and just waiting for the sweet release of death in my hangover state. But no, all jokes aside, it really was so much fun. So many different themed rooms.
Star Wars theater room. Is that what it was?
No, it wasn't even Star Wars.
It was
it
was
kind of, yeah, it very much like reminded me of like the original Xbox loading screen.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it had like very much like sci-fi like decor with it, but there wasn't anything that was like, oh, like this is like from Star Wars or this is from Aliens or whatever. It was just a big movie room, and like it almost seemed like every room had like an LED light control. But you had that, you had Tron, you had Home Alone, Sandlot, E.T., Back to the Future, Ghostbusters.
How many rooms were in this place?
Well, count them out with me, Hunter.
Or is it just every literally like every possible living room, dining room, kitchen had a certain theme to it? Was there any unthemed areas?
Well, the living room and the kitchen were non-themed.
Okay.
And then every room you walked into thereafter had a theme.
Oof.
But it was really cool. The actually only thing that didn't, it was the living room and the kitchen, and then the bathrooms themselves inside the bedrooms were not themed. They were themed to ice, is what they were.
Ice. And every bathroom was ice.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, not ice.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no. Frozen was the only ice themed stuff.
I gotcha.
But I actually had the very fortunate ability of being able to sleep in not one but two of the rooms. The first night I was able to sleep in the Tron room, which it's four twin XL bunk beds, but they're built into the wall, and the Frozen room is the same way. But the Tron ones, it was like a pod, so you could pull like a door closed, and each individual pod had a TV, like a Roku TV, built into the wall. And yeah, so I was able to sleep in that. And then the next night, much like tonight, after I got off work, I went to the Airbnb and I was so tired. And I said, you know what?
Let's try a new room.
I don't get much space. And a lot of the people, Lindsay and Tony, they had left. Mitch had left. So it was me, Jarrett, Mel, and John staying in a 8-bedroom. Or 6 or 7-bedroom Airbnb. So I said, where do I want to sleep tonight? And I chose to go with Mayor Goldie Wilson in the Back to the Future room. And let me tell you, as a man in a relationship that shares a queen bed with Ansley, having a king bed to yourself is the most therapeutic thing you can do for your sleep. And I went, and it was the greatest 4.5 hours of sleep I've received
four
in a long time.
4.5 hours of sleep.
So all right.
No, it was honestly so much fun. Grills and everything. It looked
really cool. I think the Home Alone room would have been my like go-to.
Did it have booby traps in it? Like stuff that would actually hurt you? Like a toaster hanging from the ceiling on a string? I feel like that would be a great decoration for that room,
but also potentially hazardous.
Well, the string would not be able to be cut. It would be a wire, you know.
Oh, got it.
But like you hang a toaster, you put a nail up on the floor just in the middle of the room.
Probably not that.
No. Oh.
seems dangerous.
A flamethrower at the bathroom door.
Swinging bowling balls.
Well, it was weird. I walked balls. You walk through the threshold, and there's just tar and like nails.
Yeah, a bucket of tar above the bed, ready to be poured on you.
Yeah, and Joe Pesci just screams at you every time you turn on the light. And yells, "Marv!"
I would have definitely refilmed the scene where he's like waking up, jumping on the bed. There's so many opportunities there for sure. I would have loved that.
It was so funny, like that. You know, we live in Florida. This home is in Florida, and you walk in there, and those the blankets themselves, because like it is themed so well. They looked so hot. I feel like I would sweat the second I got under it. that was the level of theme. I was like, these people think we are just actually cold.
in New York or wherever he lives, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was about to say New York, but does he live in New York?
No, they traveled in New York.
It's Chicago.
Yeah, he lives in Chicago.
Illinois. The Windy City.
But
yeah, that's right. So how far off property was this epic vacation home Airbnb? Are we gonna, what do we want to do? We're going pros of everything first.
I think we talk about, I'm more of a, let's
do
start,
we want
with,
to start with the bad.
Yeah, and then we'll end on a high note. Yeah.
All right. So let's start with the bad. How far away from property was this Airbnb?
Well, that's the thing. You can't even really call it a con. Oh. Because, I mean, it's in Reunion, Florida. So from property, it's probably a 10 to 12 minutes with traffic.
That's to get to property and then to like Animal Kingdom versus Magic Kingdom. And that's going to be like that. And then another 10 minutes to get to wherever you're going.
Exactly. So it is going to be down below 192. And so your first theme park you could get to would be Animal Kingdom or Studios, because you would head up Osceola. You would head up World Drive. And so those are going to be your first two, and then Epcot, and then lastly Magic Kingdom's
furthest.
And for those who don't know, 192 is a road like right off of property.
Is that road south of property that goes east to west?
Yeah. And that road can get like some pretty heavy traffic on it from time to time, dependent on where you're at, because there are a lot of vacation homes like and neighborhoods off of that road.
So can you sneak in the back through Animal Kingdom? Is there another entry into property from that direction?
You could go, actually, your quickest way would be getting on 429 and taking the toll road.
Right.
And going up to Western Springs. Way, right in Flamingo Crossing. Right.
Which also can get congested from time to time up there as well.
Basically, once you get off property roads, even property roads can get congested if you're looking at end of the night, start of the day kind of travel. But
yeah, so staying off property, I think that's a good like first note. As a con is just transportation in general. And then you have to factor in, like, if you're flying in, you're having to rent a car, or you're Ubering, which is costly as well, especially if you're having to Uber every day to the parks, Ubering back to your vacation home every day, leaving the parks. So those are, and then Ubering from the airport to your vacation home.
Well, I didn't think about if you're Ubering to and from the parks every day, that's potentially like $60 of Ubers a day.
So if
you're getting an off property hotel because, oh, it's 200 instead of 300.
Right.
I mean, you might for convenience just want to spend the extra 100 and not have to worry about your
Uber situation.
Airbnb or not Airbnb, Uber rides and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Then you
that's
save
definitely
time
a factor
a
into
now,
calculating your costs.
I will say this, and it is very good to check if, let's say, you're not doing an Airbnb. I know we're talking a lot about our Airbnb experience as being like the off-property thing. It's really good to double check if you are staying in an off-property hotel. A lot of them will offer complimentary shuttle service. So if you are staying in the Flamingo Crossing area, which that one, I really do recommend that a lot, because you really are, I mean, you can throw a rock onto property. You're just separated by the 429 toll road, toll highway, whatever. And they all do offer shuttle service, complimentary. They're one of like the Disney friend ones. So it is important to check that when you are planning a trip, if you do want to stay off property, but you still want some of the perks, just look at some of the hotels around there. And also, you know, just around in general, because sometimes you will find hotels that do offer a complimentary shuttle service to the parks.
Yeah.
So you're not always having to worry about the Ubers and stuff. But if you are going to be staying in like an Airbnb, let's say you're doing a family reunion trip and you do need that bigger space, I know even then some of them do offer a shuttle service. Encore at Reunion is one that will offer a complimentary shuttle service. And I want to say the Margaritaville Resort does as well.
I don't know for sure or not, but it's definitely something that you should definitely research before booking your stay, because that shuttle service is not only going to save you the cost of an Uber, but, and this is another con for staying off property, if you are driving, as opposed to taking Ubers or shuttle services and plan on parking at the parks, you're going to have to pay a parking fee every day when you park at any of the parks.
Which, so, yeah, if you're parking, you're paying like $30 a day or something like that. So then if you think about it, it's like, oh, I'm going to rent a car instead, because instead of $60 a day, I can rent a cheap car for $60 a day. Then you're going to add $30 onto that. It's like every decision or branch you want to go off of has a new level of charges that might come with it. But if you are renting a car, I do recommend Turo, hashtag not sponsored, but I've had great experiences with, especially like when we went to California, we got a Mustang Mach-E for like not a whole lot more than you get like a standard rental car. You can get fun cars, or you can get like practical cars at a lot cheaper. You are renting from a person and not a company, so they have the freedom to kind of cancel if they're like, oh, I need a car for this weekend, which doesn't happen. But I've had good experiences using that, if that's something you want to use.
Is that like the Airbnb of...
Basically Airbnb of cars, yeah.
That's cool.
You can rent anybody's car. And then once you turn 30, you can rent some cool cars. They've got some McLarens, Lamborghinis on there. I know what I'm doing my 30th birthday.
One day you'll be there, Hunter.
30th birthday, yeah. Gonna do it.
That's really cool. I never knew about that.
Yeah, that's how we got the Mustang. It was cool.
Interesting.
But yeah, that's a good option.
I think a con in general... about staying off property, I think it definitely, you have got to do more research than you do on property. Disney's very good about showing you what you get.
Yeah. You don't have the safety net of Disney of knowing. You basically could hit, you could stay in any one of those options and you know what you're getting. When you do an Airbnb, you could pick one and then show up and it'd be full of bugs or not cleaned or whatever. It might be dirty. It's just not going to be the same quality. But if you do it repeatedly and you find like, oh, I really like this Airbnb and I know it's going to be quality, and you find a good one, then that's good. But yeah, you don't have the slam dunk, I guess, quality and expectation of a Disney resort in an off property or individually managed property.
Yeah, exactly.
I think speaks to like one of the cons too that I wrote down for staying off property is just leaving the Disney bubble in general. Like there's just something about going to Walt Disney World and getting onto property and like kind of forgetting that the outside world exists. Like, and when you're having to travel off property, I mean, even something so simple as like driving past like certain stores, like grocery stores, or like driving past like a lot of chain restaurants. Mentally, when I'm on Disney property, I'm almost like checked in, like, or checked out of the outside world. Like there's a way that Disney has this ability to just like fully immerse you into like your vacation. So I think that if I'm having to leave property, something in my brain like shifts and I'm like, oh wait, I'm not in this like bubble anymore.
Yeah. And I'm in Central Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the bubble. Like I want to forget about the rest of the things happening outside of the world. So that that to me is another like bummer of having to stay off property, because every day you're having to, and just think about it. Like you're having to think about things that you shouldn't have to think about while you're on vacation, in my brain.
And it, with like the service and planning portion of it, is I can't tell you how many times we've checked in at like a Disney resort and like I've had like, oh, my Magic Band's not linked or something like that. And I just like, I'm just going to run downstairs and have them get us set up for the week. Where if you're off property, you're going to be doing that day one when you're going to the parks, and you're going to have to worry about that in the morning.
Right.
And like go to ticketing and be like, I need to get all this set up. And you might lose 20 minutes when you get there of people just standing waiting around for you to get your stuff figured out. So that's one thing to take advantage of when you're on property, is when you check in for the first time, even if you think you got it, it doesn't hurt stopping by guest services and just being like, hey, did I do all this right? And they're like, yep, you're all set.
No, for sure. That we can go to that more too when we talk about like the pros of staying on property, but there's so many things that like guest services and cast members can help you with when you're staying on property. What about
go ahead. I will say this, that like, and this one isn't, this goes back to my research thing about even the absolute novice knows like the Disney brand. So, you know, like you guys were saying, you do have like a certain expectation and like you can kind of shut the brain off. A lot of Airbnb properties, and I guess this one is, I guess in a pros and cons list, it's just there for your information, because they've become so popular. A lot of it's not just your normal, like, hey, I'm on Airbnb and I found this random house that, you know, blah, 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 blah. Epic Vacation Homes, where we stayed, it is in an actual vacation Airbnb complex. You will have people that live there, but also you're also going to be in a resort that they have. There's a bunch of different houses that people will buy these houses, and then they will have them go through rental properties to actually rent out the Airbnb. So some that come to mind, like I said earlier, you've got the Margaritaville Resort. It would be the cottages. You've got Encore at Reunion. You have Reunion Resort, which is where our Airbnb was located through Epic Vacation Homes. And then you've got things like Spectrum, Bear's Den. So the list goes on. And they are they've developed a reputation, and they all have clubhouses with an actual check-in system in the same way you would with a hotel. But it does go back to what we were saying about, unless you do your research, you're really not going to know that. There's just a little tidbit of information if you do think you might be wanting to be one of those vacation home families if you have a big group coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that segues well into what some of the pros of staying off property are, because we've talked about like the cons, but there are,
which recapping cons is probably transportation. Well, really, it's, I mean, that's the big one. Transportation, service, quality, food options. Again, you're going to be, which could be a pro or a con for a lot of people. You're going to be responsible once you're at your Airbnb, you're cooking your own food or you're going to restaurants nearby. Right. But you don't have the restaurant offerings of a resort to just kind of walk to and grab food, take back to your room, that kind of deal. You're more Correct. Responsible for it, which is cheaper, which could be a pro for someone
which
else.
I think actually factors into a pro for some people as well. It really just kind of depends on what you're looking for in your vacation. But for example, my brother, he has a gluten allergy and he has a dairy allergy. And so his options and food tend to be pretty limited. And so if he were staying at a resort, there would not be much. He's also a personal trainer and very fit. So he like will not eat a lot of different types of foods. And so when he is staying on vacation, it's really important for him to have a kitchen that he can cook in so that he can make his own food to avoid any sort of like issues with his stomach while he's traveling. And so I think while that may be a con for some people because they like the convenience of being able to just, you know, go get food from the restaurant on property, I think it also could be a positive for some people, especially those who do have like different food allergies where they get to control the cooking that they're doing or if they're on a special diet. And I think also in some ways it can save you a lot of money. Like if you go to the grocery store as soon as you get to Orlando and stock up on groceries, it'd be interesting to see like what the cost of your grocery bill compared to what you would have spent on, you know, at different restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, comparatively what that would be. And I have a feeling you would save quite a bit of money just cooking yourself, making sandwiches for the parks and you know, that kind of stuff.
Also, a combo on that is you'd have to take into account your transportation. If you're going to Uber everywhere, you'd have to figure Ubering to and from grocery store
or you
stuff
can
like
have
that.
Your groceries delivered to your vacation home.
Yeah, that is what you can do now. I totally forgot.
Thanks,
about
COVID.
That.
Yeah. So that's a solid option for you. You know, just having them delivered when you get to the house and then everything is there and you're ready to go. And you can put that order in, like have it ready to go. So as soon as you land, you're like, all right, we've got groceries
will be delivered. There in an hour.
Yep. We're good to go. And
that'd be kind of a sweet vacation setup now that I think about it. You get the eggs and bacon showing up to the door. You're ready to
rock. And I think it really makes a big difference too. Like Andrew was saying, if you have a large family that you're traveling with,
you're saving tons of money.
So much money to just be able to like cook at the house. So, you know, it's an option and definitely something to think about. You could pack like little like lunch boxes so that you can make food for the parks. And you're like, and we do this often because we live local. We pack sandwiches and take them to the parks and eat them inside of the park. So we're not having to spend money on theme park food sometimes.
That'd be tough for me. That'd be a huge temptation of just like, or we could just buy food at the park.
It does help though. It can really save you a lot of money for sure. So
yeah. But you have everything.
Bring snacks. I don't know if I'm bringing like full blown meals, but like it is nice to be able to.
You're not bringing the leftover chicken pot pie from dinner last night and a little Tupperware in your lunchbox to eat on the grassy lawn of Magic Kingdom.
This will be my last thing on the cons, and because we are very much segueing into a big pros thing that I'll kick off that I think we've already kind of kicked off, but that will lead into my last like con thing. And it does kind of have to go with like the cooking aspect of stuff. Like if you are going to be here for a week and you are staying off property, you're adding more time. You're taking a lot more time away because it's very easy in the park to be like, you know, I think we just want to go chill for like 2 hours. We're going to run to the resort, maybe take a quick little nap. Boom, we're right back at it. Yep. It is a lot more of a tedious thing to go out to those Airbnbs and stuff, and vacation homes and just off-property resorts in general. You are taking more time away from things you might want to be doing, like going to the parks and things like that. And it does become more of a hassle in that aspect. I can't tell you how many times growing up where, you know, someone was tired and, you know, they wanted to go take a nap, or someone wanted to go to the pool, but other people wanted to stay in the park. You don't have to worry about, all right, well, like you've got the car for this and like blah blah blah. Yeah. It's just, you know, okay, we'll see you there, because there's so many different forms of transportation that are all complimentary when you do stay at a Walt Disney World resort.
Yeah, versus, you lose that freedom versus
you do.
Versus your teens can be like, okay, you're staying at Yacht Club, and they're like, we want to go back to Epcot and ride Ratatouille, and you're just like, all right, go ahead. And they exactly. just go. Versus, yeah, if you're at an Airbnb, it's like, I don't know if I want you taking an Uber on your own all the way over there and worrying mm-hmm. about getting back and doing that stuff. But I can relate to this, because when I started going to the parks, my grandparents lived in Leesburg, I think,
yeah.
which was like 40 minutes away. And that was how we did it. Every day we left at 6 a.m. from their house, and we got back at 10 p.m. and there were no midday breaks because there was nowhere to go. So it was all that's where I probably was conditioned to be in like my current state of how I do parks. I do parks from park open to park close, no breaks. And I look at someone who takes a break and I'm like, you're wasting so much time right now. But I also am out of town. So when I go, I go.
You could be having a surly Sarlacc. Yeah.
We could be having fun right now.
I think it just depends on like the vibe of your trip and depends on like the ages of your kids. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of factors, because I mean,
oh, lots of naps and strollers for me. We had, even my little brother, he was under 2 years old, and we were still doing that. And you put the stroller, you prop it up on the back wheel, you walk around doing a wheelie, and he just takes a nap as you walk.
Oh yeah,
around.
We had Luke. I mean, even living locally, we would go to the parks late at night sometimes, and Luke would knock out, and he was fine. He was chill. He was totally content. So yeah. It does. It just depends on the vibe of the trip that you're going for as well. Some families may not want to go to the parks from rope drop to park close. Like they may just want to take their time and pace themselves, and like so it depends on what you're looking for that as well.
And kind of maybe half pro half con with off property is, with it being more affordable, you may be able to extend the length of your trip. So I know that, like, okay, you're saying I'm gonna cook dinner and I'm gonna save so much money, but you're in the, like, that's when fireworks are going on. Like, you're, the best time to be in the parks is around that time. So I don't think you're gonna be necessarily cooking dinner at 10 p.m. when you get back. You're gonna be ready for bed. But if you're staying off property, if you look at like ticket pricing for parks, as you add, once you get to like day three, day four, adding a day is pretty cheap. And you go six day ticket, like that's pretty cheap. And if you're saving money on your apartment, you can afford to have maybe less time in the parks day to day, and still save money cooking meals and doing that kind of stuff. You're not in, when I'm on property, you got 4 days. You're doing 4 days, four parks. That's your, you got to get it done. Because if you stay 5-6 days on property, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So maybe that gives you the freedom to kind of relax a little bit and take a little bit slower pace on your vacation, staying off property.
Yeah, for sure. It gives you the opportunity for like a full rest day or, you know.
It does. It really does.
I think another quick note too, and this goes to a pro of staying off property. I was doing a roller coaster challenge day recently and was talking to someone in line actually at Universal. And so obviously this goes outside of just Disney, but they had an Airbnb between both Universal and Walt Disney World. And that's huge. Like if you're trying to incorporate visiting both Universal you know, studios and Walt Disney World, it's going to create that flexibility for you because you can't rely on any sort of transportation from Disney to Universal. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to like guests go up to cast members and say, where do I get the bus to CityWalk? And it's like, there is no bus to CityWalk from Walt Disney World. And so, you know, I think that if you are trying to do, you know, a dual vacation there where you want to visit both, which I think a lot of people do if they get the chance to come to Orlando, getting an Airbnb that is between both helps a lot, and it saves in time and transportation as well.
If you're going to that dark, shadowy place that we don't speak of.
I enjoy shadowy place.
So. The Disney's about to be true, like one-to-one competitor.
I don't know about that. But
I'm telling you, man, that epic universe is going to be...
But there's a lot.
We are
see.
Now the most epic podcast on Earth.
There's definitely a lot to see at Universal, and a lot of people do. They try to incorporate both into their trips.
Oh, we always did. Yeah, we were weird. We stayed in three different places on our vacations. We would come down for 10 days. So I do think like that Airbnb in the middle would have been actually really nice. But we would always get in, stay like two nights at a Disney resort. And then we would stay like the bulk of the week, like the 5 days off property. And then when we would go to Universal, we would always stay on property at Universal. And I will say this, there are a lot more perks to staying on property at Universal than there is Disney. But that is a conversation for another day, especially now. And especially if you got a little more jingle in your pocket.
Maybe eventually we'll do like a special specific Universal Studios episode. That sounds like a good idea.
No, it is like some of those perks are really cool over there. Yeah. But we've been talking about it. Just sheer space. Space is a huge, huge thing when you're staying off property, because even when you're staying, and this is honestly a direct con. So it is, it's a very pro thing. So we don't even really need to get into it as a con necessarily for on property, but just the sheer size, it is almost impossible without breaking an arm and a leg to get 16 people in the same resort right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then coordinating all that when you're in one of those big vacation homes, it is so nice to be able to like, all right, we're all sitting, you know, downstairs. We're planning our next day. Maybe like we were kind of like flying by the seat of our pants kind of deal. It's just very nice to be able to all sit down at one time and be able to decide what you're going to do. And that's really, really hard to do on property, but it's also hard to do off property if you're not staying in something like a vacation home. So I would say that's more of a pro directly for if bigger parties, is a direct pro for Airbnbs exclusively, not even just off property, because you will run into that if you're staying in a hotel off property. Space in general. I mean, how many we've all stayed in Disney resorts, and I'll just be the first to throw it out there. Disney has mastered the art of motel living at a resort price, because the only difference between Pop Century and a Motel 6 is a big fat Disney name.
Yeah.
they open from the outside. There's not a whole lot of space there. Now Disney's gotten a lot better in recent years about utilizing space. With being able to, with having like space under the bed to put your bags. Yeah. And they've been very good about that in recent years. But growing up, I mean, you had your suitcases on the floor, and maybe they were there by the bathrooms in that little like cubby spot. And then you had your little luggage stand thing. I don't even know what they're called.
Yeah.
But you had to make things work.
Right.
Whereas in Airbnbs, specifically like that Tron room, I mean, that is a full-blown kids room with tons of space, and they've got their own specific area. If you're not getting, you know, one of these big DVC suites or villas on property, which are insanely expensive, it's almost not feasible for the average family. Whereas
traveling as a family of four, and especially staying at Disney Hotel, like we end up on top of each other. Like we're like you know, our luggage is kind of everywhere, even though we can slide it under the bed. Space is a huge factor. Also, I am the type of person where, like, if I'm traveling with a group, whether it's like with friends or with family, and this is probably not a surprise to most people, but I want to be together as much time as possible. Like, I want us to, like, I would be so sad if I checked into a hotel and I knew that, like, some of my family's rooms were, like, on the other side of the hotel. Like, that would be such a bummer to me.
Oh,
which is just realistic sometimes when you're staying on property because of space and what's available. And so the thought of being able to be in a home, all of us together, it just, I like that. I like the idea of togetherness as much as possible. So I agree. I think that that's a pro of staying off property is space, just for things, just for like the necessities that you pack with you on your vacation. You're not, you have like closets to put them in. and then also just like for groups or families traveling together, it's just the opportunity to like have that much more time together, to like make that many more memories together. And I mean, maybe there's times where everybody goes their separate ways because the family's sick of each other, but I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's the opportunity to really like invest in time.
To think there was a time we would all do family get togethers and stuff without cell phones.
Yeah. Quality time is just something that's extremely important to me. So when we go to Disney, like living locally, if we're going with friends, we tell them to drive to our house so that we can all ride together, because I like to be together even on the drive over to Walt Disney World. Like, I want to be together with people as much as I can. So,
yeah,
I think that's a really nice way to put that.
Yeah.
We ready for cons of staying on property?
Yeah, let's do it.
I've got a big one. Price.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. And I'm going to say this, and I'll be quick about it. It's no secret I get a discount, you know, with working there, and it's a good discount, and we've all been perks of it. But like, you look at the Disneyland one. So did our friends and family, all that, because I wasn't there, and we do get a better discount when I am staying there, but the friends and family, it was still like 40% off. And it was still over $4,000.
Yeah. It's expensive for sure.
I think it's Disneyland insane. Is hard too, because Disneyland is
only has three options.
Well, and it's even more so. I mean, even the neighbor hotels in Disneyland are ridiculously expensive, but
I love that Western.
But I have a comparison that I was kind of drumming up here.
I saw you working in overtime over there.
Family of four. Well, I just wanted a actual real comparison here, just so we can kind of gauge.
Give us the data.
April 17th to April 23rd. That is a full week from Wednesday to Tuesday the next week. Family of four, Airbnb, full house that could fit actually six guests is $125 a night for six nights. What? And then once you take into account cleaning fees and everything, it's $1,088 for your whole week stay. When you go to Disney, your all-star movies, $208. Basically, all your all-stars are $208. Then you get up to like $300 a night for Art of Animation Pop. That's another comparison, is when you're looking at Airbnbs versus Disney, Airbnbs are only generally close to All-Star, Pop, and Art of Animation. And then you get into like Caribbean Beach, Port Orleans. Those are all $400, $500 a night.
Yeah.
Which that's three nights for instead of six nights. And then you have your absolutely crazy
contemporary
options. Contemporary... $713 a night. So you're looking at
your garden wing too, because my 50% off discount, I was looking at it for my dad for staying in the tower water view.
Yeah, that's garden wing.
501.
Wow.
Now, main tower water view is $880 per night, and you're staying in one room with one king in a pullout.
Yeah.
For four people versus an entire house. Like, you're spending literally $9,000 for the same amount of time at Contemporary in one room as you are for an Airbnb that could fit six, that you have four in, that has three bedrooms of kitchen, dining room, living room, TVs,
I just don't
pool
see
in the back.
Expect a family to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's like, well, I think too, there's other like factors that can help with the cost of staying on property, like different promos that happen. Disney's been rolling out, and probably because they need to roll them out, but they've been rolling out a lot of discounts lately. Like, Disney Plus subscribers can save like 25%, 35% sometimes. Pass holders obviously get a discount. Yeah.
always look for discount. There's always a discount. There's always going on. So if you con, never book full price for a Disney resort. Always find, if you're planning on going in, you know, fall of 2024, and there's not a discount that you see right now, just get to December and wait it out, and something will pop up.
Another thing that you could do is use a travel agent. They don't cost anything, and the travel agent can book the stay for you. And then once that discount is announced, the travel agent can go in and apply that discount to your resort stay without
that's actually a really good point.
Even do anything. So definitely pay all these extra fees, but you don't, they're free to use. There may be some out there that cost money, but
do travel agents do Airbnbs also?
They will.
I don't know.
So I would do personally, if I didn't know anything and I was trying to plan a trip, would be like, hey, give me the Airbnb option, give me the resort option, and then let's see it from there. Because then you'll be able, really, you don't know, because prices are moving around. Obviously, there's peak season, low season, all kinds of stuff. So you don't really know until you get one-to-one comparison of, okay, it'll be a difference of $900 to stay on property versus off property. What can you do with that $900? Is that going to cover your park tickets? And that'd be huge for a lot of people. Or is that going to get you, you know, a couple dining packages or whatever you
want? I was about to say that that is one of those things that is a pro at Disney. And obviously you have to find it, but it is also, it goes with this con specifically, but with what you're talking about, promos and stuff, I think they are starting to roll out again, because I remember, and I'm sure y'all do too, growing up and getting in the mail, it's like, hey, if you stay 5 nights at a moderate resort, here's a free dining package.
Yeah.
And then you do cut that food cost pretty much out.
Yeah, if you're getting, but if on the other hand, if you're just buying a dining package, it's not the best option for everybody. It's very, you have to use it or lose it kind of deal. And even when you use all of it, you're getting pretty close to what you would have spent anyways in some cases. But yeah, did we talk about quality for pros on property? I mean,
we didn't totally finish all of the cons.
Oh yes,
but cons. I feel like we've talked about plenty of them at this point anyway, so we can,
I mean, it's basically cost is the con, because everything else is amazing about,
well, and we
on
talked
cons
about like
space.
Access
cons and
access,
space,
and space,
yeah, space, and access to food if you have severe allergies that you're really needing to eat specific on. So
yeah,
we could go into some of the pros of
staying.
There's a lot of pros of staying on property for sure.
Oh, there's tons, and we can talk about it for a while.
The way it used to be though.
Yeah, it used, yeah, I don't, what do you, what do
I
you
don't
mean?
Know I
what
still feel like
that, Andrew?
I you and I are probably opposite on this, Andrew, because I feel like there's still magic on staying on property.
No, there 100% is. And I will be the first to tell you, especially, and you can attest to this too, we're locals.
Right.
Most of the magic and joy I feel is when I'm staying on property.
Same.
At this point, I can go. I mean, it's my backyard, you know, I don't get this always this magical feeling. I mean, it literally to me is like when I would live in South Carolina, it was like, hey, y'all want to go walk around downtown tonight or something, and then maybe go get some dinner. That's Disney Springs now.
Right.
So I don't necessarily get that, but I do get it when I'm staying in a resort. But what I was saying about the whole, what it used to is, you know, you used to be able to book your fast passes out more. Well, you can't do that because you don't get fast pass. And I mean, they still do certain things, but, you know, there for a while, they were doing the whole pay to park thing. And I know they've rolled that back now, but you used to, if you were staying on property, you would get free Magical Express from the airport if you're flying in. And now that's gone. And that's the kind of stuff I mean, where it
Magical Express is huge.
That's a big bummer for sure.
I just feel like now, and if you're a first timer, you wouldn't know this. So you know, take this with a grain of salt. But the perk of staying on property has now become, and I'm sure you remember during the 50th stuff, all the promo was immerse yourself in the magic, and it's like all that. It's like, okay, like, why am I going to immerse myself in a thing that's $500 a night when I can go stay off property right next to it that has all the theme stuff? Maybe it doesn't quite have the quality that Disney has,
but it's livable for a week long vacation
of the cost.
Yeah. I think,
and
it's like
that's the thing.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't know. There's just so many. There
I
are
love
truly,
it. I do love it. I don't
yeah,
mean to be.
There's so many pros. Like, okay, so while this episode is being released, I am currently staying on property for a weekend resort stay. And so actually today, Friday, the day this episode is released, Magic Kingdom is open till midnight. So me and the fam will be at Magic Kingdom until midnight. And the idea that, like, leaving the park at midnight and not having to get to a car or an Uber to get back to a vacation home or hotel off property, and just to get on a Disney bus and go straight back to our hotel room, like, bathe the boys, put them to bed, and then crash. Like, that is, there's something very positive about that, especially as a parent.
There,
like,
is
in my mind. So,
what,
and then also,
magic hours? Do you miss that?
What was that?
Extra magic hours?
No, that is another positive thing of staying on property. Is being,
but
able
not
to
anymore though. Now it's 30 minutes. It used to be you got 3 hours, well, but now, and, in order to get the extra, you have to stay at a deluxe,
which I do love,
which is a con
resorts,
now.
But yeah. It's just, you've taken,
obviously, it's compared to like what people can afford for sure. But like, I do split stays with my sister sometimes at deluxe resorts, and like, it's huge to be able to stay at the park even later. That's a big win. We're staying at a deluxe resort for a hosted stay coming up in a couple of weeks. And one of the nights that we're staying at that resort, there's extended evening hours for deluxe resort guests at Epcot. And so we'll get to ride Guardians late at night if we can get a boarding group. And also, as much as deluxe resorts can be costly, if you can get a villa, like a DVC villa, through a DVC like re-rental company, you can sometimes save a lot of money through those. And then you're staying at a deluxe resort and you get the benefits and perks of staying in a deluxe resort as well. So
yeah.
A really moderate price. Like,
and
moderate
then,
resort price.
This is like a specific niche, but so next weekend, or this weekend, as this is being released, we're staying on property because it's Wine and Dine. It's Run Disney. And so when you're doing Run Disney, it really can be beneficial for staying on property because of the very early morning hours that you're having to get to the race. And the convenience of that, the convenience of finishing a half marathon and then just being able to go back to your hotel right away. I know that's a very specific thing, but I feel like there's a lot of like scenarios, like party nights, leaving Magic Kingdom at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, especially if you have kids with you, it is so exhausting to have to like factor in transportation and factor in like, you know, so many of the things that you would have to factor in if you were not staying on property. So,
but going toward like, we brushed over it, but yeah, the Magical Express thing is definitely a con now, because even if you're staying on property, you're going to need to Uber or taxi or take whatever the new
good old Mears
Sunshine Flyer. What is it called?
Yeah, you got the Sunshine Flyer, you got the Mears buses and all that,
which they're not breaking the bank, but it's just something that isn't done for you. It used to be turnkey, land at the airport and then you're Disney the rest of the way.
Your brain officially
checking in at the Disney terminal, they're driving you, and but now you kind of have to think about it a little more, which is a bummer. But yeah, other negatives, I think
I really do have to come at this with a very unbiased thing, and like, a it's my first time going here. Yes, there's tons of like, but I think even with what you were saying though, Nick, like, it just, it's outside of transportation. And, you know, you were talking about like the conveniency stuff about like being able to like just go to the resort, put the kids, like bathe the kids and like put them to bed, and you don't have to worry about the travel stuff. That's getting to the point where that's it. And then, well, that, and you know what you're getting with Disney.
Right.
You do know what you're getting with Disney.
That's what I was going to say. And we can start to wrap it up on this one, but like, for pros, like, the biggest pro to me, and this is like just a shout out to the Magic Makers, but are the cast members. Cast members, the level of service that you receive, and I know it's changed in some ways, and I know it can be different than what it was.
But you
10
have
years
a
ago.
Fully staffed Airbnb, which you don't get. You know, well, I say that in a weird way. You don't have a fully staffed Airbnb.
Right.
When you stay at Disney, you have people waiting to take care of everything you need.
Exactly, and not even just like taking care of things for you, but just like smiling at you and like welcoming you home. And like, and obviously there's one-off scenarios where you're like, oh, that person's definitely having a bad, but it's
security
just
guard at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh gosh.
It's just the vibe of Disney. There's a reason why Walt Disney World sets itself apart in terms of customer service. And there's just world-class customer service at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. And speaking of kind of before, go ahead if you had, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off when you're finishing your thought there.
No, just, I was going to say just in general, like the cast members, they make a difference for me. Like they are the people that keep me coming back to Walt Disney World. They have moments where they give my kid a sticker and my kid feels like the coolest kid in the world. You know,
and or you've got the concierge making special buttons and stuff because they're just going all out on buttons, which is wild.
The occasional upgrade from a random room to the literal presidential suite.
It happens to some people and it's really amazing.
Waiting on that one.
Just make sure you pack your Snickers bars, everybody. But anyways, as Andrew said, you did mention Animal Kingdom, and we've talked about cast and quality, but also the experience and quality, which Animal Kingdom Lodge offers an experience that you're not going to find at any Airbnb where you're staying on the Savannah. And then you have even the moderate resorts of Port Orleans and stuff like that. The theming is a different park in its own and a different experience, which you're not going to get, which you could get at, say, a place like Epic Vacation Homes or something where it's all there. But you don't get that walk around outside vibe of you're in a different place.
That is such a good point.
Even the pool, every pool has a slide. My kids love the pools. Like, and if you are going to take a mid-afternoon break in the heat of Florida and the kids just want to swim for a while, or one of my favorite things to do as a kid and still to this day is you have a long day at the park, you get back to your resort, you're like, we got an hour and a half before the pool closes, like let's go jump in the pool. And like swimming at night is one of my favorite things. So, you know, it is. It's truly immersive staying on property. And there's something to be said about that, that like you don't get to experience if you're staying off property. Yeah, for sure.
And there's little touches of even at the most basic of the All-Stars Art of Animation, stuff like that. Like you can get back or you have a late start in the morning and you take a long walk to the Skyliner from Art of Animation. You're like, let's go walk by the car stuff. And for some kids that starts their morning off perfect. They might be in a bad mood.
That's my morning off perfect.
I mean, my boys love walking into a Disney resort hotel room and looking for all the hidden Mickeys that could be around. Like there's just so many small little details like that, which you can get, I'm sure, at certain vacation homes as well, that they've done a good job of incorporating that in.
Yeah.
But it's the Disney magic. There's just something about the Disney
experience
that like, it changes things.
Nothing like walking onto the Skyliner. Say what?
I said, I hate how right y'all are. Like it just
comes at a price.
It really does. Just the way y'all talk about it. Like I'm not kidding. I got like goosebumps. Like it just like it, talking about it, it warms you up. And we can go in circles about this 4 days, but I know we do have to wrap this up. But like sometimes it's more necessary to stay off property, but I don't think if you can afford it and it's in the budget, even taking a step back from what it was at one point, I don't think you can beat it.
I agree.
I think you can have a good trip staying at an Airbnb and kind of get the experiences and stuff like that, but if you know you're saving and you want to save an extra year or something before going and stay on property, and really don't be afraid of Art of Animation, All-Star.
Oh, I love art.
They're perfectly, I think Art of Animation is probably the prime Disney resort because it's on that price tier. You have the Skyliner.
You have
space. You have different themes, especially when you have kids. Even I would stay at Art. I like staying at Art of Animation. For adults, I think prime is like Yacht Beach Club because you walk to Epcot. You have Skyliner Station. You can walk through Epcot to the monorail to Magic Kingdom. Like that's my hub right there. The boardwalk resorts. Nothing like leaving Epcot late at night and stopping by Pizza Window and eating a pizza in your bed. But yeah, there's just stuff like that you can't do at an Airbnb, which is going to be unique to staying on property.
One you stay in, one you immerse yourself in.
Correct.
Yeah. One you're getting some sleep in.
And you can have a lot of fun with both of those things, but it just really depends on like what your budget is and what you're looking to get out of your vacation.
I think it does sum it up though. Like you need more space. You're having a big family gathering and more budget friendly.
It's obviously not in the cards to drop 15 grand for rooms for a week when you have a family of like 12 coming.
There you want to do the Airbnb or like the off property stuff. But I think if you are your standard family of four and you got the little kids and stuff, and if you can afford it, you can't beat on property.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So I don't think this is a win loss thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you're like me, you have another option of staying in one of your buddies' Mojo Dojo Casa houses.
There you go.
Couch surfing for free, which is my go-to usually.
Oh my gosh. I do have one last question before we hop off. Do you think Disney has taken a step back with the theming? Do you miss the old theming that we grew up with? Or do you like the new minimalistic style?
I like the new theming. I'm probably in the minority there.
Of like the contemporary Incredibles, like where it's as much as possible with little touches, I think
they've actually kind of gone back to a little bit, but I'm thinking more like what they've done with like the boardwalk stuff.
Riviera and stuff like that. It's just versus
art of animation where
I love the like fresh, clean look. It feels so like I love it.
I like it when it's used in a way of like, you know, French Quarter or Riviera is, where it's nice, but it's immersive in the resort.
And there's still, I think there's still like nods and touches to like Disney within that like theming for sure. But it's not like over the top. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, the rooms used to look a lot different, but I feel like as a society in terms of decor, we've shifted from that quite a bit. So
we have, but then I look at Tokyo Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like theirs is like straight up like you stepped into the movie,
which I appreciate too. Well, there's something to be said about either of those. So
Disney World also tried something like that recently failed, but was amazing. Star Cruiser was divine.
I'm so sad I never got to experience it.
It was amazing, and I don't think obviously that's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother tier. Star Cruiser is not factored in, but even those rooms were not
over the top like gaudy like Star Wars. They were still very like fresh, I feel like.
They were in universe, right? Which I like that kind of sort of thing. Like I like Animal Kingdom Lodge is very like quote unquote in universe, like in terms of the finishes in the room. It's not Art of Animation Lion King suite style,
right?
Which I like. The Animal Kingdom Lodge version of that.
You want to feel like you're at a lodge. With nods and
Wilderness like Lodge, stuff like that. That's what my favorite is of being transported to a new place.
Wilderness Lodge, and it's Christmas time. This is the best time of the year. I'm going to get a hot chocolate and walk around Wilderness Lodge and just stare at that tree.
Sit in front of the fireplace.
Yeah. A dream.
We lost Nick.
See ya. I'm leaving my current Disney resort and going right over to Wilderness Lodge.
Speaking of see ya, it is about that time, I think.
Yeah.
Because someone has to go to work.
So long, farewell to you, my friend.
This has been great.
Is that from Bear
in the Big Blue House?
We should start singing that together.
Goodbye, goodbye, dear friends, goodbye.
You guys are babies. I was too old for that.
What? Oh, dang.
Oh, well.
We can sing Once again, the Full House one or something. What was that?
This was live from a random room in Kissimmee, Florida.
Yeah. But hopefully y'all got some good insight of on-property versus off-property. Obviously, you can have a good vacation with both options. There are positives and negatives with both. I feel like the on-property may be like the once in a 10 years if you're an out-of-towner kind of deal. And then if you go on other trips, you can do the off property to kind of get your Disney fix other times. But it's definitely worth going all out at some point with your family with an on property to experience both, and then do both once and then figure out for yourself what you'd like to do. But yeah.
Or do what me and my family did and stay your first 2 days at Disney. And then when everybody else comes down, go stay in the Airbnb for the week.
Yeah, you can do that too. Split it up.
Do that. But yeah, that's all for this episode. It is now Christmas season.
Happy holidays, everybody. Welcome. So freaking excited.
Happy holidays, apparently. We're just going to skip Thanksgiving.
Well, that's a holiday.
That's a holiday.
Oh my God.
That's why he didn't say Merry Christmas.
But when you say happy holidays, you're emphasizing the Christmas on that. You're minimizing the Thanksgiving.
I'm here to celebrate it all. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating, I'm here to celebrate.
Let's see your Thanksgiving tree go up in your house before your Christmas tree. Then
it has like turkeys all over it.
Put your stuffed turkey up.
We do have some like turkeys that we'll put out for a little while, but that tree is going up ASAP. Yep. Let me tell you.
Oh, right. I got to buy one. Me and Ainsley have to buy our first one.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh,
what are you gonna do? Are you gonna go with the frosted tree with the little snow accents?
No. Well, our biggest argument we're having
pre-lit. Right
now. Yeah, I'm doing.
We have like five or six trees that we have in our house. Do. So.
We have two, and that's too many.
I'm a classy Christmas guy, and you know, Ainsley's like, "What about like we should get these decorations?" And I said, "Nope, we'll get you like a kid's tree to put in the room, but you are not touching my tree." I got that from my mom. My mom was like, "We're like, hey, can we help decorate?"
And we had mom's tree. Yeah, we had mom's tree, and then we had the kid's tree where we have do y'all ever have those storybook Disney ornaments that I don't think they have anymore? Do they still do them?
I don't know, but we've
collected them like over the years, like every one, and I feel like we could sell them for big bucks. We have a Disney tree that the kids use. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Disney tree. Yeah.
But then we have a tree in our room, and then we have a tree in the dining room, and then we have our living room tree.
Gosh. Well, that's going to be hard in my one bedroom apartment, Nick.
Listen, I love Christmas. I am Saint Nick, okay? So
his name's Nick. Because he's very thankful.
Just wait for our Christmas episode this year. It'll be a good one.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Thanks, Andrew, for waking up and, you know, hosting us from your bed in your Airbnb. We really appreciate it. So that is all for this one.
Say goodbye to Simba.
Akuna Matata.
there's Disney theming for you. We got Simba painted on his wall,
and it says, "I'm working on my roar."
Nothing says Disney like that. You got a whole mural. That's actually a cool room.
Rafiki, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty Art of Animation-ish. But
yeah, it is.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. This is us signing off for now. We'll see you in the Christmas season. Bye.
Happy holidays. Listen to some jingles.